Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
I'm going to be reading Philippians 1, 27 to 30, page 1189 in the Bibles on your pews. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Thank you.
Good evening. If we haven't met, my name is Natasha. If we have met, my name is Natasha. I am on the team here at Emmanuel, and it is my honour to preach this evening. And this is the second in our sermon series for the month of January. We have got a year of fellowship here at Emmanuel, and we are exploring what fellowship means. We are looking at the book of Philippians as we do that. And it is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the young church in Philippi. And there is much that we can learn from what he teaches them about how to be a church family. And tonight we are going to be looking specifically at what it looks like to suffer well together as a church. How do we look after each other in suffering? Last week, if you are able to catch it on our sermon downloads, John started our series by looking at what fellowship is. And one of the ways that he described our fellowship is as a partnership. And that's what I will be leaning on this evening, that sense of being partners together in what we do as a church. So suffering, now this, for the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter, was something that was both expected in the life of believers and something he experienced himself. He knew that when we become a Christian, it does not end our suffering. In fact, to choose Jesus was and still is a costly decision. Paul was experiencing suffering even as he wrote this letter. He was writing as a prisoner. He was writing to dearly loved friends, but actually he didn't know if he would ever be able to see them again. So he was writing from a place of love, but also a place of longing. And he wanted them to understand his suffering in the light of the gospel. And so as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to do so in two areas. First of all, we're going to be looking at what it means to live as a fellowship in the light of the gospel of Jesus. And secondly, we're going to look at how that impacts both how we see suffering and how we live well and look after each other when there is suffering. A few years ago, my family and I lived in Ethiopia. Now, if you want to get around in Ethiopia, you don't use a car. I can't remember ever seeing a car on the roads there. You need a truck because the roads are bad. particularly once you leave the capital city. Now, during our time in Ethiopia, we had many visitors, and at one point, Pete's mum came out and stayed with us there, and we took her down country. We left the pollution and the noise and the altitude of Addis Ababa, and we made our way down country. We had a wonderful time. Feeling refreshed, we started to head back towards the city. So we're on a long road in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing around us except a few huts in the distance and some acacia trees. And then there was a loud pop! And it was a tire bursting. Didn't sound like that at all, sorry. That was just in case you were dozing off. There was a loud pop and there was a tire that burst. Now, we had a bit of a dilemma. We had a spare wheel, of course. You have to have a spare wheel. But we had an old lady, not me, my mother-in-law, a young woman, and three kids. And it was hot. And it was in the middle of nowhere. And we needed to change this tire without hitch and in haste. And so Pete got ready to change the tire. Now, as he got out the spare wheel and started to look at changing the tire on this truck, a change happened. Out of nowhere, men started to appear. Don't know where they came from, but they gathered around us to see what was going on. This was normal, but nevertheless, it was really interesting because they were so helpful. One of them, you can see him in the picture, helped Pete change the tire, and the others smiled and gave us a bit of commentary and were just generally good bystanders. But as I was thinking about what it looks like to suffer well together, or rather to walk alongside each other as a fellowship in suffering, I remembered this image and I thought, that's what it's like. Of course, our suffering goes far deeper than a burst tire. But nevertheless, to walk alongside each other, to lift the heavy loads. There's that verse that I've put there. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. The Bible talks about our fellowship as a body. If one of us is suffering, we should all be walking alongside each other and we all should feel that suffering as we do so. And so it's that image that I want us to hold in mind this evening. So we'll start tonight by looking at a partnership that is rooted in the gospel, and then we're going to think about how that gospel partnership brings us comfort in our suffering. So firstly, we share an identity as believers. We are partners, and it's because of the gospel. And it's in starting with the gospel that our life together is built strongly. So we share an identity. The first verse in our Bible reading tonight, and do find it if you're able to follow along, it's on page 1189 in the Pew Bibles, page 1189. The first verse there is a really wonderful one. I think this is a bit like the Apostle Paul's New Year's resolution, except actually it's a new life resolution. He says this. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's saying, live in a way which gives credit to the gospel that you're preaching with your lips. Conduct yourselves, that word yourselves, it's not yourself, it's plural. Conduct yourselves, it's got the idea of identity lying in it. It's where you come from, it's where your thinking starts. And when we become believers in Jesus, we change. We belong to Jesus. Our citizenship changes from an earthly one to a heavenly one, and it impacts every part of our daily lives. So what would it mean if our church fellowship lived in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? Well, we would live in line with what we've experienced as those who are saved by grace. What have we experienced in the gospel? We have been shown the deepest love by our Heavenly Father. So as a church, we want to reach out in sacrificial love to others. That is worthy of the gospel. We have been given new life by our Heavenly Father, so we live as a church that is full of vitality. We live as those who've been transformed. That is worthy of the gospel. We've been released from the chains of our past, so we live as a church that is free from stuffy legalism. That is worthy of the gospel. As we understand the gospel for ourselves, we want to live in a way which reflects it. We want to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of it. What does Paul say next? He gives the impact of what happens if we do that. Then he says, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know, if you live like that, that you stand firm in the one spirit. In other words, if we live in a way which is consistent with the gospel, we will stand firm as a result. So here's the second way that we are partners through the gospel in this church. We share an identity and we share a foundation. Our partnership here, the way that we belong to one another as a fellowship, is based on our salvation. If we're Christians, we've all been saved by the same good news, and praise God for it. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. If you want to know more about that, please do come and speak to one of us or come and join our Alpha course. But here, Paul says it's the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need to stand firm in our faith day by day as we keep going. One morning this week, I took our dog out for a walk and I nearly went flying. It was seriously slippery. The pavement was ice. I was staggering and stumbling along in a slightly scary reminiscence of my attempts at ice skating back in the past. Standing firm was not possible. You know, the Apostle Paul says, stand firm in the one spirit. And he talks about standing firm in many places in his letters to the young churches. Why is it so important for us to stand firm on what we believe? Because if we don't, we stagger and stumble. Last week, John talked about our fellowship being three-way. You, me, and God. We're united by the Holy Spirit, and he is the one who gives us an ongoing foundation on which to build. If we try to build on something else, our talents, our credentials, our gifts, our foundation becomes changing and insecure, and we can't stand firm. We would be like a church of people trying to stand up on ice and falling flat on our face. The third way that we are partners through the gospel is at the end of verse 27, which is an amazing verse, by the way. To get half a sermon out of one verse is good. We're partners through the gospel because we share a purpose. Paul says, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. You know, here at Emmanuel, we have many opportunities to strive together. Strive is a funny word, and you might not be familiar with it. It means working hard, really putting your back into it. Striving alongside each other can result in a warm friendship. But you know, Christian fellowship comes from striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. If we're striving for anything else, our work has no lasting value. So our partnership, our relationship between each other in Jesus is based around a shared purpose. What is our purpose? We want others to know about Jesus. As John said last week, we turn and face outwards. We join together on mission out of a longing for other people to know the good news about Jesus. That is what we're here for. So why is it so important, and why does Paul always start with the gospel? We see it in all of his letters, because this is where we find unity. A church that is not starting with the gospel and is not united with the gospel is ineffective and weak. When we build on the good news of the gospel and long for others to find Jesus, our fellowship becomes strong. So the gospel means we share identity, foundation, and purpose. And verse 28 tells us that if we live like this, this common ground means we're not frightened. Paul says, without being frightened by opposition. Now, the word he uses there means startled like a horse rearing up. He says, don't be like that. You can be firm. You can be a strong witness to what you're proclaiming so that people will know that what you're saying is true. But Paul has more to say about life as a Christian, about our discipleship. Look with me at verse 29. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. God has granted us belief in Christ, faith, and we praise him for it. But Paul says here, he has also granted us suffering. I wonder if you received a Christmas gift this year that you didn't really want. Or I wonder if you've ever received a gift that actually you thought at the time was a bit rubbish, but became one of your most loved possessions. Paul says in this verse that suffering is a gift. How can suffering be something that can ever be seen in that way? You might be thinking, God, you've got a gift receipt for this one, because suffering wasn't really on my wish list when I signed up for this Christian thing. But Paul says, when you're saved, you're granted belief through Christ and suffering. Suffering is something that comes when we give our lives to Jesus. And suffering also leads to one of the most beautiful ways in which our shared partnership brings true Christ-centered comfort. So there are two ways in which we're connected through suffering. First of all, we're connected to Jesus through our suffering. In Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul writes of what he longs for. I wonder how you'd answer that question. What do you long for? This is what the Apostle Paul says. I want to know Christ. Fine. And the power of his resurrection. Yes. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. But for Paul, you see, suffering came from his connection to Jesus. And for him, it was the highest privilege to be in that place. But even more than seeing suffering as an honour, Paul says it's to be expected. In his letter, the Apostle Peter says, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange was happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. I want to say this next part with great gentleness, because I know that many of us are going through very difficult and uncertain times this evening. Thank you for coming to church. I wonder, though, if there are times when we see suffering as something to be avoided at all costs. But suffering is something that Jesus himself experienced for us to the highest degree. When we follow him, the suffering he experienced will feature in our lives. As Christians, we long to become more like Jesus. He is the one who saved us through the gospel. one of the ways in which we become like our Master Jesus is being allowed to share in his suffering. At Alpha on Thursday night, one of our group leaders, Jamie, was sharing her testimony. Jamie came to Christ from a Hindu background. When her father died, she and her mother were tormented by the belief that they had done something wrong, and that's why they were now suffering. In the Hindu religion, there's a belief that what you've done in a past life has a karma effect that makes you suffer in this life. And so they did a lot of soul searching, trying to work out why her father had died. Now Jamie's a Christian, and this is what she said. Once I knew the truth set me free. Through my relationship with Jesus, I found peace and joy never experienced before. When facing challenges now, I know Jesus is with me in my struggles, walking and working with me, guiding me and bringing me through to a better place. Jesus has transformed my life and the way that I see suffering. You see, suffering for our faith does not mean we've messed up in a past life. Instead, it's something that those of us who follow Christ can expect because we follow a suffering Saviour. But as Jamie said, we don't do this on our own. Jesus is able to deeply sympathise with us because he went through suffering himself. We've just been celebrating at Christmas that Jesus became a man. And as a man, he suffered and was tempted and struggled in the same ways as we do. So when we cry out to him in prayer, he listens and understands. And one day we will go to be with him where he is now. That is Christian hope. So we are connected to Jesus when we suffer, but also, and finally, we are connected to each other. Becoming a Christian does not mean we sign up for a life of ease. In fact, Jesus said we take up our cross when we become his followers. There is freedom, joy, and peace when we put our trust in him, but there is also suffering. We may not all know, or any of us know, the level of persecution that comes for so many across the world for whom following Jesus is literally life or death. But there is still a real cost to following him. Maybe it comes when our family or friends mock us or misunderstand us. Maybe it comes when we stand up for Jesus in a conversation at work and we're ridiculed, or there's a strange atmosphere the next day. Maybe it comes when we sacrifice time or effort or money for ministry work which fails. Maybe it comes when we long for our loved ones to walk with Jesus, but they walk in the opposite direction. And of course, as we've been reminded this evening, there is physical suffering that comes from being a human, and bereavement is the most painful. But fellowship means that we belong to a family. We find rich comfort when we ask other people to pray for us because it's so hard for us, and our prayer ministry will be open soon. When we're part of a loving church, the guidance and support that's offered to us, maybe in home groups, can sustain us through our darkest days. You know, Emmanuel, we're a church that does things well. We like to do things well. That is a great blessing to many who worship us, and we thank God for our gifts. But I wonder if it can also be a place where we are sometimes held back. I wonder if the Lord is asking me, to be ready to see suffering not as a weakness, not as something I keep to myself, but rather to be vulnerable enough and brave enough to ask each other, our brothers and sisters, as well as our partners, to walk alongside us. When we share what we're going through, we experience the communion that John spoke about last week. The one who suffers bears the actual burden, but the one we share with walks alongside us with compassionate understanding. And it's in sharing our burdens with each other that the Spirit binds us together more deeply in the unity of our partnership. As we weep with those who weep, we share each other's pain. What might our church look like if we were brave enough to share our lives in the deepest of ways with each other? How about if, as well as rejoicing together when things go well, we share our trials, our heartbreaks, and our sorrows? How about being brave enough to share with those we know and trust whenever we are really struggling? How about sharing some of our failures as believers as well as our successes? Maybe if we're brave enough to do this, we'll experience God's miraculous, powerful work more than we could ever imagine. Maybe our authentic, Christ-centered fellowship will be what draws people into our church and towards Jesus. Let's pray. Paul ends this passage in Philippians with a reminder. You are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Suffering is something they will recognize in their own walk of discipleship, he says. We want to grow deeper in our fellowship here, Lord. But that's a big prayer to pray. Many of us are walking through difficult times tonight. Please may we find comfort in the truths of Scripture as people whose shared identity is in you. As we share our burdens with each other, please may your Holy Spirit work among us to heal and restore. We give you our pride, our self-sufficiency, our independence. Thank you that you transform what seems hopeless. Thank you for grace in trials. Please will you use the year of fellowship to deepen our love and our unity in every circumstance in the year ahead. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.